Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here again to take you through another portion of the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will complete Occupations and Missions of Spirits, covering questions 577 to 584.
Enjoy.
Question 577. When individuals do something useful, is it always in virtue of a previous and predestined mission, or might they have received an unforeseen mission?
Not everything that individuals do is the consequence of a predestined mission. Instead, they are frequently the instrument a spirit uses in order to perform something it considers useful. For example, a certain spirit thinks it would be a good idea to write a book, which it would actually write if it were incarnate. So it seeks out the writer most capable of comprehending its thought and most capable of acting on it. It suggests the idea and directs its execution. Thus, this individual did not originally come to Earth with the mission of doing this particular work. The same thing applies to certain works of arts and discoveries. It should be further noted that during its body's sleep, the incarnate spirit communicates directly with the disincarnate one in order to discuss how the mission is to be carried out.
Question 578. Can a spirit fail in its mission through its own fault?
Yes, if it is not a high-order spirit.
Sub-question 578. What are the consequences for it?
It will have to start the work over. That is its punishment. Furthermore, it will suffer the consequences of the problems it has caused.
Question 579. Since a spirit receives its mission from God, how could God entrust an important mission of general interest to a spirit who may fail?
Doesn't God know whether his general will be victorious or defeated? Rest assured that it is so, and the divine plans, when important, do not rely on those who might abandon the work in the middle of it. The whole issue for you is the knowledge of the future, which God possesses, but which is not given to you.
Question 580. Does a spirit who incarnates to fulfill a mission have the same apprehensions as the one who incarnates to undergo a trial?
No. It has experience.
Question 581. Individuals who are the lights of humankind, those who enlighten humans with their genius, obviously have a mission. But amongst them are those who are mistaken and who, instead of great truths, spread great errors. How should we regard their mission?
As having been falsified by them. They are beneath the task they have undertaken. However, it is necessary to take circumstances into account. Geniuses must speak according to the time in which they live. Thus, a teaching that appears erroneous or puerile to a later era may have been sufficient during its own time.
Question 582. Can parenthood be considered a mission?
It is, without any doubt, a mission, and, at the same time, a very great duty that involves parents more than they might think concerning their responsibility for the future. God has placed children under the care of their parents so that they may guide them on the path of the good, and has facilitated their task by giving children a frail and delicate organization that renders them accessible to all sorts of impressions. However, there are those who are more concerned with training the trees in their orchids and making them produce fine fruit than with training the character of their children. If their children fail due to their neglect, they will have to bear the punishment, and the sufferings of their children will come back to them in a future life because they did not do what was incumbent on them for their children's advancement on the path of the good.
Question 583. If a child goes astray, in spite of the care of the parents, are they still responsible?
No, but the more the child is disposed toward evil, the heavier their task is, and the greater will be their merit if they manage to divert the child away from the path of evil.
Sub-question 583. If a child becomes a good adult despite the negligence or bad examples of the parents, do the parents receive any benefit from it?
God is just.
Question 584. What could be the nature of the missions of conquerors whose only aim is to satisfy their ambition and who, in order to reach their goal, do not recoil before any calamity they may cause?
Most of the time, they are nothing more than instruments used by God for fulfilling the divine designs. Such calamities are often the means for enabling a people to advance more rapidly.
Sub-question 584. If those who are the instruments of such temporary calamities are unaware of the good that may result from them, because they inflicted them with a personal aim in mind, will they nevertheless profit from the resultant good?
All are rewarded according to their deeds, the good they meant to do, and the honesty of their intentions.
Author's remarks for question 584. Incarnate spirits have occupations inherent to their corporeal existence. In the errant state, or dematerialization, their occupations are in proportion to the degree of advancement. Some journey from world to world, learning and preparing for a new incarnation. Others, more advanced, occupy themselves with progress by directing events and suggesting favorable thoughts. They assist the geniuses who concur in the advancement of humankind. Others reincarnate on a mission of progress. Still others take under their care individuals, families, human agglomerations, cities, and peoples, from whom they become guardian angels, protector spirits, and familiar spirits. Finally, others preside over the phenomena of nature, of which they are the direct agents. Ordinary spirits meddle in our occupations and amusements. Impure or imperfect spirits wait in suffering and anguish for the moment in which it pleases God to grant them the means of advancing. If they practice evil, it is out of spite for not being able to enjoy the good.